Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Just like you draw it up, right? First of all, got to give Chicago a ton of credit, obviously, with everything that has transpired here over the past week. And we knew this is, I mean, this is a National Football League. You got to come with your best every week in order to come away with a win. It's always hard to win on the road. They were 4-1 at home, so I figured this was going to be a four-quarter battle, and that's exactly what it was. It took all 60 minutes, and that's a competitive football team. The margin of error in this league is so minimal, and we see it. I mean, they're a Hail Mary away from being a 5-4 team. I mean, most teams in this league, it's a 500 league. You got to find a way to win some of these tight games like we did today.
Cram it up your cram hole on the floor.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
That dude. He's good,
right, though.
Oh, he's very right.
This is a one-possession league. It has been set up that way. Look at the scores from this past Sunday. Most of the games are one-score games. And you learn who the good coaches are in those one-score games. And the record of 5-17 in those one-score games since he's been head coach lets you know that, or if you want to, you could even look at how many times the Bears have had 95% percentage to win the game, and he's lost those too.
Oh, yeah. There's
multiple times.
A number of different ways to look at it, for sure. LaFleur, by the way, those run schemes are beautiful. What
they
he does.
Really are.
I mean, my God, so sexy what they do, because they'll dress it up with a bunch of different ways, then it's Josh Jacobs coming right at you. Right up the gut. It's
a lot of duo yesterday.
And when they're not great, he will say in the post game, as he did yesterday, that was a bad play call by me. I got to do a better job than that.
You listen to the post. He owned it in the post. Yeah, him and Shanahan. Those two are the best at run. Well, and Greg Roman and other people that we don't have are very
McDaniel
good at that. Yeah.
As well.
He's also very good. Yeah, he is very good. You're right. All those guys are very good. We should get one of those guys. Or we could just get whoever Trace Armstrong recommends.
That's probably what you're going to get, including it being the same guy that's coaching the team now.
Sure.
It's possible.
Or Lincoln Riley, another Trace Armstrong
guy.
Yeah,
I will say that was the one thing where I was like, I could have done without. Oh, I talked with Lincoln Riley this week. I'm good on that, Caleb. I'm good. You don't have to tell us that one.
You asked for people. And listeners, we got Kurt Warner at the top of the hour. Yeah, I think he disagrees with us on some coach thoughts at the end of that game. But let's talk to the people, Lawrence.
Sure, let's go out to Decatur and let's talk with Jake. Hey, Jake, you're on The Score.
Hey, fellas, thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. What's on your mind?
I think when you're talking about the whole leadership thing and stuff that maybe Eberflus is lacking. And I know it's offensive driven is what the league is, and that's what they want. But maybe next year, I'm just throwing his name out here. But like, what about somebody like, say, a Robert Saleh? He kind of seems to have that vibe to keep everybody in control. Now, I'm not saying like Aaron Rodgers, because that dude's a fool. And
Jake, I feel like if you called other shows with this particular thought.
Yes, I called Mully, talked to Mully last week. And
yeah, I heard you. We appreciate the phone call. He already has a job. He's actually working as an analyst in Green Bay. So, but I don't know if we need to already start talking about who's going to be hired next year.
Well, unless you're offensive dreaming about Ben Johnson, or you can look at offensive coordinators. Connor Orr's list that he puts out annually of like the up and coming head coaches is out. I bookmarked it. I've got it ready to go.
It's funny. Jake did like, it's like he wrote it out, because I remember hearing it with Mully, but so be it. To Manhattan. Are we talking Manhattan, Illinois?
It's Dr.
Manhattan. Manhattan, Kansas.
Are you blue? Are you enormous and blue?
Manhattan, Illinois, boys.
All right, what's up, Joe?
So I was at the game yesterday, and I just want to say the way our players played yesterday, they did everything they needed to do to win that game, and our coach took it away from them. that last drive of the game, Caleb Williams was making some of his best throws of the year. The team was driving. There was 12 seconds before the two-minute warning where they just sat there and didn't call a play. And then we get the gift of a challenge play, basically a free timeout. We don't call two plays into the huddle. We run. I don't know what we're doing, but Flus took that game away from us. I think we could have marched the ball down the field and scored at the end of the game, and he absolutely took it away from us.
Thanks for the call. The 12 seconds that he let march off before the two-minute warning, I didn't have that big a problem with because that was after the two sacks. It was about to be 3rd and 19, so he let them catch a breath. I thought Caleb was a little panicked on those first two plays. I thought he stepped up into pressure on both plays. After not taking a sack all day, he took two of them there, putting a little too much on his plate. A little panic or a little freeze right there from Caleb.
What I didn't like about it is that there was clearly a play called. Like, he snapped the ball. It just happened to be, like, after the two-minute warning. So, like, it bothered me that it wasn't just a, hey, like, let's kind of just let this whole thing settle down. Come over here to the sideline. Let's talk, catch your breath, and let's talk about what we're going to do after the two-minute warning. It seemed very scattered in that moment.
Okay. Well, I guess that's – I mean, it felt scattered. It felt horrifying after the two sacks, which is why then – you're so completely shocked and delighted that the plays get made after that. It makes the smackdown of the blocked field goal hurt even freaking worse because you got delighted by the surprising rally after the two-minute warning.
Lake Bluff and Tom. Tom, you're on the score.
No, thanks. Yeah, I want to make a comment. You know, I know Eberflus needs to go just by his record, but I can't take him for the loss. The kicker blew the game. He missed the kick. You need to focus on that. The other game, the Hail Mary.
He didn't miss the kick. The kick was blocked.
The kick was blocked.
There's a difference.
It was too low. He kicked it too low. No, that should never happen.
But that's what he does. Have you watched him all year, all his entire career with the Bears? He's a low trajectory kicker. And the whole league knows it. The Packers know it as well.
Now they will. Now you'll see what will happen. More people are going to be blocking his kick.
We saw it happen yesterday because they knew it. So
But I mean, that should be the focus, not the coach. The coach needs to go just on his record. And he didn't taunt the fans and blow the Hail Mary play. I mean, you got a player that's like not focused.
No, what did he do the play before that, though?
Should have been fired. Should have been fired.
Yeah, no, he blew the Hail Mary play. He didn't call a timeout on the Hail Mary play and didn't let them get their act together.
But he didn't have the guy taunt the fans and miss out on the play.
I'll ask you again. What happened the play before that?
Right. No, I'm not. Eberflus should be fired on his record. But if you're going to micromanage him on every single play and blame every loss on him, I mean, the other two games, the quarterback didn't fulfill. He didn't score any touchdowns. I mean,
I'm curious why you won't answer my question. What happened on the play before the Hail Mary? Exactly. Thank you for the phone call.
He gave up 15 yards or 13 yards just by not having the corners.
We appreciate Matt Eberflus's cousin calling in.
You want to micromanage every little thing? You don't have to micromanage every little thing, but we have a giant catalog of decisions that have damaged the chances of winning. Yeah, there's other stuff from yesterday. I agree that there's other stuff from yesterday, but not putting the Hail Mary on him, not putting that loss on him, and then it's everything that happened after. And it's not just his record that you fire on. It's the fact that he's bad at managing a game and bad at leading, not just the record.
I think that you can obviously take one game and it be in a vacuum, and you could say this is not the worst game that Matt Eberflus has coached.
Absolutely. Had good game management right before the end of the first half.
That doesn't mean that he did anything that was going to win you the game yesterday.
And some of the offensive struggles in those two games right before are because of the offensive coordinator that he hired. We haven't even yet really dissected that whole thing, which we'll have time to do.
Kurt Warner's going to join us. We'll find out how he viewed the game next on The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.